that is a nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by God, you know the thing.
House not guilty. As to the second count of the information, Richard McGinnis, we the jury find the defendant Kyle H. Rittenhouse not guilty. As to the third count of the information, unknown male, we the jury find the defendant Kyle H. Rittenhouse not guilty. As to the fourth count of the information, Anthony Huber, we the jury find the defendant Kyle H. Rittenhouse not guilty. As to the fifth count of the information, Gage Grosskreutz, we the jury find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty.
And with that, at least for one day, truth and justice reign supreme in these United States of America. Welcome to the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, I am your host, Tom Velasquez. Thank you for joining me this week. As you heard, as you have probably already heard, Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted on all charges. Again, at least for today, truth and justice prevailed. It may not be that way tomorrow. It may not be that way next week. But today, the youth of this nation, the liberals of this nation, everyone in this nation saw how our justice system is supposed to work, if just for one day. It is a big day. It is an exciting day because there's a sense of renewal amongst the patriots of this country. We are starting slowly, starting to get back a little bit of what we lost. And we've lost it in the matter of 10 months. But we're gaining some of it back. And we're being fought every step of the way. This acquittal today is a small step against the mob rule that has been pervasive in this country for years now. It seems that the criminals in this country, as time progresses, they are more and more looked at as heroes. The defense painted these three thugs, these three felons that attacked and were shot by Kyle Rittenhouse in self-defense, they painted them as heroes. They painted them as victims, which they are not. I've gone through, and I just, they're overwhelming, the amount of comments regarding this on social media. And honestly, I'm amazed to say that it's 50-50. There are people out there that think this is the worst thing ever, and not just the politicians and Hollywood elites and LeBron Jameses of the world, but just everyday people think that this was a travesty of justice. They obviously didn't see the trial. They obviously got the story from the mainstream media and the mainstream newspaper and on social media. And this is a huge, huge problem in this country. In my view, and I do believe this will happen, Kyle Rittenhouse should go after every media outlet that slandered his name. If Joe Biden didn't have executive privilege, he should go after him for calling him a white supremacist. How does a president of our country, who is the great unifier, whose campaign revolved around unifying the country, he knows what happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin on that night. How can he sit there and call this 18-year-old, at the time 17-year-old child, a white supremacist? And then today, when asked his thoughts about the Kyle Rittenhouse decision, his response was, well, I didn't watch the trial. So you made a slanderous accusation against a child, a young man, and you have no clue what happened during that incident in Kenosha, Wisconsin? He knows what happened. He's seen the drone footage. Everybody's seen the drone footage. And the media has slandered this kid. They have just absolutely, they were the judge, jury, and executioner of this kid before the trial even began to start. This is a travesty of justice. Not only that this kid had to go on trial for what was a cut and dry case of self-defense. But at this point, I have to ask you, my listeners, and ask yourself this question. And if somebody can give me the answer, please do it. Because after what I saw during this trial, I don't know what the answer is, but what constitutes a mistrial today in America? The prosecution withheld evidence. The prosecution was knowingly lying and they got caught. The prosecution said the quote-unquote jump kick man, they had never talked to him. When that was proven to be an absolute falsehood, they had him in they were in communications with him constantly. The mainstream media, MSNBC, we'll talk about them in a minute, MSNBC trailed the juror's bus. How is this not a mistrial? You take one of those incidences, the withholding of evidence, the lying, the blatant lying, the prosecutor being a jackass and holding the trigger on a gun and pointing it to the jury in what I believe was a last-ditch effort to show the jury this is what it looks like to stare down the barrel of a gun with somebody holding the trigger. It didn't work. It was reckless. Ask Alec Baldwin that. Look at everything here. How could this not have been a mistrial? So first of all, this thing should have never went to trial, but it did. The prosecution, I do not think, expected Kyle Rittenhouse to take the stand, and they were not ready. Kyle Rittenhouse made them look stupid. Kyle Rittenhouse, by the media and by the prosecution and by the Democrats. I'm not going to leave them out of this because, of course, the Democrats are going to get involved in this. Don't get involved in inflation. Don't get involved in the border. Don't get involved in the supply chain crisis. Don't get involved in the drug overdoses that increased tenfold last year. Get involved in a case that you have no business getting involved in. The media, the Democrats, the prosecution, they portrayed this kid as an arrogant white supremacist. If you watched the trial, you saw that Kyle Rittenhouse, he came across like a Boy Scout. And that angered the Democrats. That angered the media. That angered LeBron James, who was mocking him for crying on the stand. The same LeBron James that was bawling his eyes out, crying, and had to be carried off the court because he had a calf cramp. I get him all the time. You walk it off, big guy. LeBron James has paid millions and millions and millions of dollars to dribble a basketball and shoot it towards a basket. Nobody cares what LeBron James says. If you do care what LeBron James says, well, then you're a liberal and you are absolutely as uneducated and a doofus like he is. Just because you make millions of dollars does not mean that the world needs to hear your social commentary. But yet, we hear it all the time from the likes of Cher and Madonna and LeBron James. Nobody cares. Alyssa Milano, nobody cares that when you were giving birth, you felt it was akin to being sexually assaulted. Nobody cares. That is the most ridiculous statement I have ever heard in my life. Getting sexually assaulted is a horrific crime. Giving birth is a miraculous, wonderful experience. But you, in your infinite wisdom, you want to equate the two and say they're just about the same. Again, you are obviously liberal, and you're obviously an uneducated doofus like the rest of them. Trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. We're going to come around and meet it in the middle. But back to the media on this Kyle Rittenhouse situation. The media painted this kid out to be a homicidal maniac. De Blasio, the mayor of New York, blatantly, knowingly lied through his teeth saying that he brought a gun past state lines, over state lines. Never happened. Never, ever happened. Yes, he went from Illinois into Wisconsin, but the gun was always in Wisconsin. Should Kyle Rittenhouse have been on the streets with a gun? That's up for debate. But here's the problem. During that time, when the riots were taking place all over the country, these criminals, they were portrayed by the media as heroes. They were looked at as people who didn't have a voice, who now found their voice. Nobody was able to look at the fact that these people were rioting, destroying property, burning buildings, destroying people's lives, and murdering people. That was never brought up. The Democrats were never there to condemn the looting and the rioting. In fact, they were helping to exacerbate the issue. George Soros is paying these people to riot. So Kyle Rittenhouse, he's had enough. He's seen this. The police aren't doing anything. There's calls to defund the police. Police are looked at with disdain. They are looked at as the enemy in this situation. He sees what's going on out west in the CHOP zone. He sees the media accounts of the two people in St. Louis, Missouri that were inundated with rioters who broke into their gated neighborhood. They came out on the porch to defend their property. They didn't do anything but brandish firearms, which is their God-given right, and they were arrested for that. The rioters were given a free pass on everything. Kyle Rittenhouse had enough. First off, that's a patriot. Secondly, we could learn a lot from this kid. Should we go around brandishing a firearm? I guess maybe we're asking for trouble in a way, but he wasn't bothering anybody until he saw, from what I understand, somebody beating up on a woman. Then all hell broke loose. Then he was chased. He was beat. He was hit with a skateboard. He was drop kicked. The three men that were coming at him were given every opportunity to stop. Kyle Rittenhouse was yelling, "Stop, stop, stop." He raised his gun. He said, "Stop." They wouldn't stop. That's self-defense. That's self-defense. Truth and justice prevailed today. But you have the likes of MSNBC, and let's just call the left out for what it is. Because leave it to the left and leave it to Joy Reid to call this racism. Kyle Rittenhouse shot three white felons. I want you to know this. All three of these people that he shot, and I'm not even going to name their names because I don't think they deserve it. I don't want their names immortalized. Kyle Rittenhouse shot three criminals who were doing criminal acts. They were felons that had already had records who decided to go out and cause trouble. These were not the altar boys that the media has portrayed them to be. These were not three grown adults who had criminal records walking out of church after confession. These were three grown-ass adults who have already been in trouble with the law, causing mischief again, being involved in a riot. The last time I checked, if you were involved in a riot, that was breaking the law. Kyle Rittenhouse, he went there to save these businesses, to help people, because he knew the riots were going to get out of hand. They'd been getting out of hand all over the country. He went there to do his civic duty. The police weren't going to do it because the police were at that point scrutinized. They were looked at on every little thing they did. They couldn't do anything as it was. There were too many rioters. Kyle Rittenhouse took it upon himself to make sure people were safe. And what did he get in return? He got beat on. He got a gun pulled on him. The prosecution, they knew what happened. If you look at the video, the contrast in video between the drone footage that what they were showing, the contrast in the video, the prosecution's video and the defense's video, night and day. The defense video, clear as day. You can see Kyle running away from everybody, them chasing them. The prosecution's version of the drone footage, You get better video quality shooting video of Bigfoot or a UFO. It was that grainy. The defense had this crystal clear video. You could see everything. You could see Kyle running away. You could see the people chasing him. In the prosecution version, it was just a pixel running around. You have no idea who it was. It was a definitive attempt at fraud. They were trying to perpetuate fraud, and they were playing with this young man's life. They knowingly lied about evidence. They knowingly fabricated the video, make it look unbelievably unclear as to what was actually going on. They lied about talking to the jump kick man. They knew Kyle Rittenhouse was innocent. They knew. The prosecution knew that he did this in self-defense. But yet they continued to lie through their teeth. They played with this young man's life. As far as I'm concerned, everybody on that prosecution team should be barred from ever stepping foot in a courtroom again. Wait, I take that back. The only time the prosecution team should be able to step foot in a courtroom is when they are on trial for the misjustice, the misrepresentation that they gave Kyle Rittenhouse. There needs to be consequences for these people's actions. The prosecution, Joe Biden calling him a white supremacist, and most importantly, the media. Kyle Rittenhouse, you need to sue the living daylights out of CNN, MSNBC. MSNBC is the most racist news organization on the planet. Everything is racist to them if it doesn't go their way. Mr. Rittenhouse needs to sue NBC, CBS, ABC, The Washington Post, The New York Times, every media outlet that slandered his name. He needs to sue them. These journalists who literally made up stories, Mayor de Blasio, he needs to be brought up on charges. This is slander. You can't do this legally. But yet they're going to get away with it. And people are going to still listen and watch MSNBC, CNBC. They're still going to watch CNN and ABC, NBC, CBS. There are two sides to this story. There is the side that Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted because he was defending his life. And then there's the other side where he was breaking the law, he shouldn't have been there, these people didn't need to die. You look, I guarantee you, everyone that says Kyle Rittenhouse, him being acquitted, was a good thing, was the right decision. They watched the trial. Everyone out there who says this is a miscarriage of justice, this is a stain on America, they either have an agenda, or for the majority of everyday people out there, they never watched a second of the trial. All they do is get their news from the media, which is going to perpetuate lie after lie after lie. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to realize that 95% of the media in this country is nothing but propaganda. Nothing but propaganda. 95% of the media in this country is no better than the media in Nazi Germany. It's all propaganda. You are not getting the truth. Turn off the radio. Turn off the TV. Turn off social media. Listen to what's going on around you. Watch, rewatch the trial and tell me, after you rewatch that trial, tell me then that this was not an act of self-defense. Don't listen to the media give you its propaganda, telling you what they want you to hear, knowing that because you are a good little citizen, that you are going to just lap it up like a lap dog. You're just going to lap it up and just regurgitate everything. This is what the news said, so this is what I'm going to say. We in this country are on the precipice. We are right there of losing this country. As I said, this was a big day for America. A couple Tuesdays ago was a big day for America when the Republicans whitewashed, or I should say redwashed, the Democrats in the elections. This is a big day because this says that in Kenosha, Wisconsin, truth and justice prevailed. The key is we've got to maintain this momentum. Ladies and gentlemen, this is no joke. We are right on the edge of losing this country if we haven't already. I believe that we can come back from the brink and take back this country and make it what it once was. It's going to take days like a couple Tuesdays ago, November 3rd. It's going to take days like today where truth and justice prevail, where the mob mentality does not exist. If you are rioting, if you are looting, if you are setting fire to personal property and businesses, you are not a hero. The media, the liberals were all over this judge because he refused to call these felons victims because they weren't victims. They were out there breaking the law. And they chose to go after this 17-year-old kid. And they chose to do great harm to him. They literally were going to kill him. I don't know if they didn't expect him to shoot or what they were thinking. But you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, right? Well, two of them won the ultimate prize. The third, well, he won the consolation prize with a shattered and mangled arm now. Now, what I'm about to say is not me telling all my listeners to grab a gun and go out and patrol your neighborhood and shoot anybody that is doing wrong. That's not your job. What I'm saying is Kyle Rittenhouse, he's a patriot. He did what 99.9% of Americans who love this country and are pissed off at how bad this country has done a 180, he did what none of us would do. He went out to save people. He went out to save businesses. He stood up to this mob. And he almost lost his freedom because of it. Because the mob, they knew back in 2020, they knew rules don't apply to them. The liberals in Washington, the media, made them untouchable. And people bought into that. People looked at these rioters, these criminals, as heroes. They are not heroes. They are criminals. And at least for one day, on November 19th, 2021, justice and truth was served. All right, so believe it or not, that wasn't the main subject of this week's show. The main subject is going to talk about what is going on in America. What is going on is planned. You need to hear what I'm going to talk about, and it will make complete sense to you. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable. where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crime. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I don't know, what to say. Tell me how you feel the same. 'Cause I don't even know your name. I know I want to. I saw you, there across the room. Doing things beautiful too. And finally my eyes met you. And you came over. And I never felt feeling like.
Okay, so unless you've been living in Hollow Earth or you're part of an Amazon tribe, you have undoubtedly found that prices around you are skyrocketing. It doesn't matter if you go to the grocery store, if you go to the gas station, if you go to pay your energy bill. Wherever you go, prices have just skyrocketed. And everybody's asking, what is going on? Why is this happening? Well, I'm going to tell you why. It's a scary thought. But this is what is happening, and you need to be aware of it. You've heard me talk about the Great Reset before. Some of you said, Tom, that's just fiction. That's just a conspiracy theory. Even the politicians, even the liberals are now talking, the New World Orderites, they are talking about the Great Reset. It is not a conspiracy theory. It is true, and it is here. And what I'm going to do right now for you is I am going to put everything that's going on right now. Energy prices are through the roof. Supply chain is non-existent. Everything costs 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, 50% more. It's not by accident. It's by design. I'm going to prove that to you. Plus, I'm going to tell you that if we don't change this, where we're going to end up. And it's not going to be a happy place. Now, if you've listened to this show since its inception 8-9 years ago, I've talked Agenda 21, I've talked Agenda 30. Well, Agenda 21 and Agenda 30 have evolved into the Great Reset. And the Great Reset is exactly what they warned that Agenda 21 was all about. It is the reorganization of human society. And to reorganize the human society, that means there has to be a massive change or the outright elimination of our economy, our income sources, our jobs, our private property, our personal privacy, our individual choices, and families as we know them. It means that our information sources, communication, entertainment, energy sources and use of energy, education process, our food sources, our housing, our cities, our farms, our healthcare, our national sovereignty, and our system of government all have got to change. The New World Order, the One World Government, it is real. And their goal is to accomplish this all by 2030. Now, if you would have told me 2 years ago that this was going to happen by 2030, I would have laughed at you because at that time, Donald Trump was in office. We were a sovereign nation. It was America first. Our economy was booming. And then the pandemic hit. We were hit, and this is pretty much the first time I have definitively said, I've done a lot of research, guys. I've done a lot of reading, talked to a lot of people, read a lot of peer-reviewed studies, and I'm going to tell you right now, this is the first time I have just definitively come out and said this. COVID-19 was biological. It was warfare. It was man-made. It was designed to bring about the Great Reset. Now, I know what you're saying, Tom. You're crazy. What are you talking about? this was man-made. I'm going to go into later what is going on in this country and around the world in these hospitals. We're going to talk about that later, but we're going to stay on the Great Reset. This can happen by 2030 because right now it is happening at an alarming pace. Everything I talked about, the economy, the income sources, the jobs, the private and personal property, all of what I just talked about is going to change. That is part of what the Great Reset is. This was all laid out very clearly in the book entitled COVID-19, The Great Reset. It was written by Klaus Schwab, who is the head of the World Economic Forum. Now, this book was published in August of 2020, just 5 months after the COVID lockdowns began. Now, keep in mind that it takes time to conceive the book, to research the book, to write the book, to print the book, and publish the book. To do it in that sort of time is either superhuman or the COVID lockdowns and the Great Reset were all planned prior to this book being written. Now, for decades, the forces of globalism, and what globalism is all governments are the same. Everybody is one. And that sounds great. That in theory, that sounds great. Everybody's the same. But when you dig deeper into it, and we'll get into it in a minute, globalism is not good for people like you and I. It's good for the politicians and the elites, but for the majority of the people on this planet, it is not good. So for decades, they have been quietly and steadily organizing for this particular moment. The United Nations, they are at the center of the Great Reset, and they are directing the action that is taking place. The World Health Organization set the rules for the global health policy. The World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, or the IMF, they control the money and the trade. And the World Economic Forum has created the blueprint for how it all comes together. Now, let's look, especially during this whole COVID crisis. We know the World Health Organization is politically motivated. They do not have the best interests of you and I in mind. They are there to set their agenda. The same for the World Bank, the IMF, and the World Economic Forum. Everyone has an agenda, and it all revolves around the Great Reset. In the U.S., federal agencies, Wall Street, and the Federal Reserve have all jumped in. Now, as the cabal, we'll call the World Health Organization, the IMF, and the WEF the cabal. As they announced its plans for the Great Reset, world leaders, heads of state, banks around the globe, and global corporations all jumped on to the plan. There's a reason for that, and I'm going to explain. So the Great Reset, it details a plan to create global independence, both an economical and a societal reset. It details the return of, quote-unquote, big government. Now, in addition, it details a geopolitical reset designed to change our system of government and also an environmental reset based mainly on the threat of climate change and the continuing threat of pandemics. It even calls for an industry reset, which, in other words, moves away from capitalism and free markets. Now, throughout 2020 and into the beginnings of 2021, the world had been locked down over fear of a global pandemic. Businesses shut down, healthcare facilities were, quote-unquote, overrun and controlled by global and federal agencies. People were forced to stay in their homes, they were forced to wear masks, and they were not allowed to gather. Offices and small businesses closed. Sporting events, well, they took place with no audiences, and entertainment was near non-existent. We were told it was all necessary to, quote-unquote, flatten the curve. Here in Michigan, it was 15 days to flatten the curve. But yet, here in November 2021, we're still not back to normal. Now, something you may not have known, as we were all in lockdown in this panic, non-governmental organizations, or NGOs, such as the Security and Sustainable Forum, were busy holding online town hall sessions to train activists, local officials, and the news media to, quote-unquote, examine commonalities between the pandemic preparedness and climate change action, unquote. They proposed a plan on where the world can be heading after the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, meanwhile, the WHO and the UN urged governments to focus on a plan to flatten the climate curve. Not the COVID curve, the climate curve. And this is a huge thing about the Great Reset, is the climate, as you will learn. The Brookings Institute issued a report entitled How the Sustainable Development Goals Can Help Cities Focus COVID-19 Recovery on Inclusion, Equity, and Sustainability. At the same time, the Club of Rome, one of the authors of Agenda 21, issued its own report calling for a green report after the pandemic. These were all the beginning steps, or the marching orders per se, to prepare the world for the true purpose of the Great Reset. And the pandemic was the practice test. Climate change is to be the rallying cry of the Great Reset. We all saw Joe Biden falling asleep at the climate conference. You had Prince Charles out there telling everybody how horrible we are. Meanwhile, they all flew in on their luxury jets. Joe Biden had an 80-car motorcade. It was ridiculous. You have an 80-car motorcade that the vehicles are left idling, running, while you're inside sleeping, and yet you're going to lecture the world on climate change? That tells me a lot about what you think about climate change. But the whole purpose of the Great Reset, the main focus of the Great Reset, is climate change and bringing green energy to the forefront. And again, this is all going to come full circle here in just a little bit. But let's talk about Microsoft founder Bill Gates, because he has a lot to do with the Green Reset. He took the lead. He demanded a worldwide mandatory vaccine for an undefined illness with a recovery rate of 98.5 or 99%. COVID-19. He demanded a mandatory vaccination for this illness. Gates, who has now become the largest farmland owner in the nation, has called on the nation to stop eating beef, instead suggesting we move to 100% synthetic beef. This was not just an idle suggestion. The national cattlemen are now being subjected to the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef that enforces restrictions on beef producers, which is putting thousands out of business. Has anybody gone to the grocery store, noticed that beef is very hard to come by, and if you can get it, it has skyrocketed in price? This is not a job market problem. This is not, we don't have enough people in the slaughterhouses. This is planned by the Great Reset. Incredibly, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has embraced this, and the World Wildlife Fund, a major opponent to beef consumption, is now basically in control of the American beef industry. This is planned. This is 100% planned. The beef shortage you are seeing in the supermarkets nowadays is not because of a supply chain issue. It's not because of a shortage of workers. It is planned. It is part of the Great Reset. Meanwhile, G. Edward Griffin reported that the Biden administration had launched a technocratic war on America's food supply and is accelerating a global collapse in food production. Go to the grocery store. Look at the shelves. Tell me that there's not a shortage of food. We are the most prosperous nation in the world. And you go to Walmart, you go to Meijer, you go to Publix, or wherever your local grocery store chain is, you will find empty shelves. This is planned. This is being done by paying farmers not to grow food, ordering the Department of Agriculture to pursue a zero growth policy, and placing restrictions on grocery stores, restaurants, and meat packing plants. Again, This is from G. Edward Griffin. This is not me just rambling my thoughts. This is actually happening. But on top of that, did you know that the U.S. is currently reeling from a severe shortage of fertilizer? A severe shortage of fertilizer will cause crop yields to decrease and prices to rise. The U.S. is completely sold out of food to export, and other countries have stopped exporting their surplus to protect their domestic supplies in the face of a looming global famine. But Bill Gates hasn't stopped with just destroying the farm and beef industries. In addressing the COVID lockdown and the fact that the entire economy had nearly been shut down, Gates said, and I quote, "Simply shutting down the economy is not going to get us to our goal. So just like we need innovation for COVID-19, we also need to get rid of emissions from all different sectors and bring down climate change," unquote. How do we do that? Well, according to Bill Gates and the Great Reset cabal that he speaks for, this crosses many areas. He said this. He said this crosses many areas. He said transportation, industry, electricity, all those things in agriculture contribute to emissions. With climate, we need increased speed and more. We need policies. We need more research and development money. We need more risk capital on all those hard areas. I unquote that comment from Bill Gates. And that brings us to perhaps the most terrifying tactic to be used in the Great Reset to gain full control and bring about the destruction of our economy, our system of government, and personal lifestyle. Now, most everybody listening to this show does pretty much everything digitally. Your bank accounts, everything you purchase at the grocery store, your posts on social media. It's all now being prepared as a weapon to force your compliance to the Great Reset. And as usual, it's hidden under the labels of climate change, environmental correctness, and sustainability. Here, I want to tell you how this works, because everything we do digitally now. We pay bills online. Everything we post online is there forever. We've heard about China having a personal credit score, and I'm not talking about your credit score on how well you pay bills. This will be a credit score on essentially your carbon footprint. Now, I really, truly want you to listen to this, and if you have to go back and listen to it multiple times to understand what I'm saying, do it, because this is important. It's already being implemented in China, and you know it's coming here. So within a year, 77% of institutional investors will stop buying into companies that aren't in some way, quote-unquote, sustainable. Money managers on Wall Street are now saying climate change is their main concern. This could well be a $120 trillion transformation of investment money. It goes away from oil and gas, and it goes to electric vehicles, and even the way we think of car ownership altogether. The question is, will you be able to own one? If you don't have a good enough credit score, quote unquote, you will be forced into public transportation. This new sustainable investment drive will affect the $5 trillion global transportation industry, the $9 trillion healthcare industry, the $850 billion airline industry, the $600 billion export industry, and the $26 billion food delivery industry. If it's not done by following sustainable rules, it will not be financed. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Wall Street says their main concern is climate change. If these businesses are not quote unquote sustainable, in other words, green, they will not be financed. Companies will have to report tier climate information to the Securities and Exchange Commission for a climate risk assessment. Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, and the Bank of America are already working on these policies. This is not a joke. This is happening. Companies around the world, in order to be financed, are going to have to be, in the eyes of the Securities and Exchange Commission, sustainable. If they are not sustainable, and by sustainable I mean conforming to the Great Reset policies of climate control, if they do not be, if they're not labeled sustainable, they will no longer exist. So businesses will be labeled as sustainable or they won't exist. It's as simple as that. But how does that affect your personal choices in life? How will you be forced to toe the line? If your buying habits, and trust me, this is already happening. If your buying habits, as recorded on your credit cards and online bank accounts, show that you have purchased a gun or ammunition that will begin a personal profile of you. Again, if you have purchased a gun or ammunition, automatically that begins a personal profile on you. Add to that the kind of food you buy. Let's say perhaps you've purchased beef but not enough vegetables. That may indicate that you are not living a healthy, sustainable lifestyle. How much electricity do you use? Where have you traveled and how did you get there? How many buildings do you own? What kind of things do you invest in? Each of these things represent your climate footprint and your dedication to social justice. In other words, are you a proper citizen in this reorganization of human society? This is already happening. Why do you think the government wants to look into your bank account? Anybody that has $600 or more in their bank account, the bank is required to send the IRS each one of your transactions. Why do you think that is the case? It's right there. I will tell you again. They will track you by your credit card and your online bank accounts. They will show what you have purchased, when you have purchased it. Are you sustaining your climate footprint? If you are not, you are not contributing to the reorganization of this new Great Reset human society. This is all coming to fruition. Why do you think that you now are going to be charged per mile? Oh, Tom, that's not really happening. It's just a pilot program. It happens. It's going to happen. Tell me a government program that's been in pilot program that hasn't been turned into an actual program. You are going to be charged every mile. If you are deemed driving too far, you will lose your privilege to own a car. You will have to take public transportation. This is the Great Reset. It's happening. You can call me crazy. It's happening. This is exactly what's happening. Everything I've said so far. This isn't me, what I think in my head's going on. This has been validated. Now, here is how all of this will personally affect you, and this is where it really gets scary. Each of these things will regularly be entered into your profile, and each one will affect your personal credit rating. Every single one of us will have our own personal credit rating. Again, this isn't how well we pay our bills on time. Doesn't matter anymore. This is our personal climate footprint rating. A low credit rating will prevent you from getting a loan to buy a car. You can't get a mortgage or even a business loan. This will effectively cut you out of society unless you change your habits and your personal beliefs. In other words, conform to the Great Reset. If you don't conform to the Great Reset, you will be cut off from society. Have you seen the reports that Bank of America was providing information on any of its cardholders who were in Washington, D.C. on January 6th? Anybody know what happened January 6th? They stormed the Capitol. There was a protest against the election. Bank of America gave the government information from any of its cardholders. They reported any charges for hotels, food, or transportation in and to Washington, D.C. Don't believe me? Look into it. It's true. This is just a sample of what will happen if the Great Reset is allowed to move forward. 81 international banks have joined in partnership with the World Bank, along with the International Monetary Fund and the U.S. Federal Reserve, which oversees all U.S. banks, plus our money supply. 81 international banks have already signed on to do exactly what Bank of America did. Give the government all of our personal information on where we were, what we bought, and basically how well we conform to the Great Reset. I don't want to go all day on this, but I'm just going to basically say that the Biden administration is assaulting private property in single-family neighborhoods right now. In addition, private rental properties and landlords, we know they're under siege. Since March of 2020, nobody's had to pay rent. Everybody's living for free. That is not by coincidence. That is by design. You will not own property. Klaus Schwab has said, you will own nothing and you will be happier. That's not going to happen. So everybody has figured out right now that inflation is here and it's growing steadily. We may make a little bit more, but it takes more of that money to buy what we need to survive. With the Great Reset, paper money, it will be a thing of the past, and it will be replaced with a digital currency that can disappear with a single keystroke, should you fail to conform. Universal income will finally make us all equal. The problem is it will make us all equally poor and under control of whatever gang is in charge of the governmental plantation where we reside. That all conforms with the Great Reset. As again, Klaus Schwab has said that in the future, no one will own anything and be happier for it. Ladies and gentlemen, under the Great Reset, there's no private property. Now, the first thing to do to change everybody over to the Great Reset is to change the culture itself. You have to change the language. And what I mean by that is you have to call anybody out that talks against the agenda. And if anybody talks against the agenda at hand, you consider that hate speech. Have you noticed any of that today? Have you noticed today, just today, hate speech? Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted, and it's racist, and it's a stain on America because it went against the agenda. And anybody that says differently, you're considered a domestic terrorist. You're considered giving out hate speech. If you stand in front of your school board and you disagree with what they are teaching your child, you are going against the agenda. You're labeled a domestic terrorist. You would be convicted of hate speech. But on top of hate speech, the goal of the Great Reset is to control freedom of movement. It's to erase history and books that present positions contrary to the globally accepted truth. In other words, it's forced compliance. If only the world had read and acted on the rantings of Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf, we could have prevented World War II. If only the world had acted to toss Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto onto the trash heap, we could have saved Russia 70 years of horrors, and millions would now not be suffering the tyranny of Red China. But you and I, today, we have another chance. Everything that's going on in this country and around the world, as we speak, you have to open your eyes and know that this is where the Great Reset is heading. There are millions of Americans and others around the world who are alarmed by what we are all witnessing, and we want to stop it. We don't know how, but we can. We have to start. We must focus first on state and local elections by fighting on four distinct fronts in order to stop this Great Reset. We need to start locally, and we need to start on a state level. And there are four distinct levels or distinct fronts. There are four fighting fronts that we need to fight on. The first one is education. we need to get rid of the school board members that want to promote CRT, that want to promote transgenderism. Our public schools right now are an indoctrination society. We as parents need to become involved much more in our child's education. That is the first step to stopping the Great Reset. The next is the right to privacy, where an all-out effort must be made to stop the establishment of federal data banks that document personal information. $600 you have to have in your account. That's it. $600 is nowadays a car payment. If you own a house, you're paying more than $600 a month. You have more than $600 in your bank account. This is not a way to find the tax cheats. This is a way to track your purchases. This is a step in the Great Reset. We need to stop this. You need to get out of the national banks and get into the local banks. The local banks don't want anything to do with this. And if they do, just start keeping cash. The right to property rights, private property rights. Private property rights guarantee private ownership, control, and protection of real and intellectual property. We all own our home, well, essentially own our home. We need to keep it that way. If the Great Reset comes to fruition, we own nothing. We need the protection of national sovereignty and independence. In other words, we need to remain free. Our freedoms every day are under assault. We have too many people that are sitting on their hands knowing that something isn't right, but yet they're not doing anything about it. And they're going to look around one day and go, what happened? Where did all of my freedoms go? They were there, but you let them slide away. No matter how powerful these forces of the Great Reset are, if we can protect our fundamental rights, they cannot impose their tyranny. It starts at education. We need to be involved in our children's education. We need to know what our children are being taught in school. We need to be able to hold our privacy rights. We need these banks to stand up and say no. If you have a bank that is willingly giving all of your purchase information to the government, get out of that bank. These banks will fail if enough people leave these banks. We need to withhold our private property rights. This is one of the beautiful things we can own, especially here in America. It's called the American Dream. You can own that home. You can own that land. Not if the Great Reset comes to fruition. If the Great Reset comes to fruition, you own nothing. Most of all, we need to protect our national sovereignty and independence. Right now, China is turning into northern Canada. The UN is knocking on our door. It's not going to be easy. It all starts at the local level. Your city council and your state legislator have more power than even most of us know, including protecting election integrity. We need to organize and we need to use that power. Stop them on those four fronts that I just talked about: education, the right to privacy, private property rights, and the protection of national sovereignty and independence. We stop them on those four fronts, and the Great Reset will cease to exist. Right now, across the world, in Austria, where they're locked down. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about COVID, and it's going to be a pretty eye-opening show. You need to listen to it. But in Austria, Australia, all across Europe, there is a great awakening that's taking place, where people are realizing that their government is way too powerful and overstepping their bounds and taking away the individual's freedom. This great awakening is taking place as more begin to understand the lies of the Great Reset cabal. People are now starting to realize that this Great Reset conspiracy theory is not a conspiracy theory. The Great Reset, the tyrant's greatest fear is that we, the oppressed, will finally get off our knees, stand up, and say no. It takes someone like Kyle Rittenhouse to change the world. If one person gets up, that emboldens another person to stand up. And pretty soon, we all stand up. If we stand up to this tyranny of the Great Reset will cease to exist. But it only happens if we get off our hands and do the work. And it's hard work. But the reward will be great for those that want to go. For those of you who have children and grandchildren, you do it for them. You give them the opportunity to grow up in a country that you grew up in. Not a country like North Korea or China, where they are oppressed, where they are told what they can do, when they can do it, how much they can make, and they can be told when and where they can go at what time. That's not America. The Great Reset is here. Mark my words, and make no doubt about it. There is no doubt about the Great Reset is here. I hope this opened up some of your eyes, and it may take more than one listen to fully get the concept of what the Great Reset is doing. It's here. They're pushing it on us. Some of us know about it. You know about it now. It's up to you to spread the word. And again, it's hard, hard work because you're going to get resistance. You're going to be called a conspiracy theorist. This is not a conspiracy theory. Look at what is going on right now around you. This is the fundamental change that Obama talked about. Trump stopped the Great Reset from happening 4 years ago. Biden and the Democrats are full speed ahead, changing what Trump stopped. It's up to us to get off our hands and stop this Great Reset. Send me an email at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know that you're aboard. Let me know if you have any questions. My name is Tom Velasquez. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I'll talk to you next week. You're running thoughts through your head, because you've been around, babe. You've been around for a while. I'm trying to wake myself, because I know that you're...